A very good evening to you, GWA. It's Poison Daloon. Thank you so much for keeping me company tonight. This is boggling to me. I have the house entirely to myself. Overnight. This never happens. So I'm fully making the most of it and effectively having what is a sleepover for one. But I'm so glad you're here to talk to. In the grand spirit of sleepover tradition, I have some snacks, and I also have a bit of a treat for me. I have some champagne, as I have had a very, very good week at work, and I just couldn't wait until the weekend to celebrate, so apologies, a bit of a loud noise potentially. So I'm going to sit here and drink my lovely frothy stuff, answer Petal's fifth questionnaire, and you can all get to know me a little better. If you like, or feel free to go. It's a free country. Right, let's crack on. What is your love language? Words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, quality time, physical touch. I've heard of this. This is based on a book, isn't it, about how people express their admiration and affection for their partners. Immediately, I know it isn't gifts, which makes me sound very cheap. I promise I'm not. When it's birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's Day, etc., I like to think that I buy people thoughtful, personal, or make lovely gifts that they'll appreciate. But I don't use gifts to show my adoration or love. And I think that's just because there is a real problem in my family, well, on the male side of the family, where pretty much every generation of men believed that anything and everything can be fixed or substituted with gifts. So I have very commonplace memories of grandparents sulking with each other or snipping at each other, fighting. And after several days of the silent treatment on either side, my grandfather would go off for hours on end, not tell anybody where he was going, come back, plonk a navy leather box with gold on it in front of my grandmother, give her a sharp peck on the cheek, and walk off. And she'd open it, and inside would be a beautiful, ludicrously expensive necklace or brooch or earrings, bracelet, hat pin, something like that, a ring. And she would light up and go, oh, isn't it beautiful? Oh, isn't it smashing? Oh, he loves me so much. I must go. And we must reconcile immediately. And I remember even as a child sitting there and thinking, you've not fixed the problem. You just now have a lovely ruby ring to wear for no reason. I would say my love language is, I'd say acts of service. Acts of service. If I'm feeling particularly loving and doting towards my partner, I generally express it through giving them a massage if they're tired, running them a bath, making dinner for them, asking if you know they need anything, any help with anything. Yeah, just look after them a little. That's my answer. How and when did you discover your favourite quink? Quink? Kink. Question two, I was trying to say. Question two. Your favourite kink? If you're not kinky, how did you find GWA? You will not know this yet, because I actually haven't posted much. I don't have a rich back catalogue of work for you to peruse. So you haven't seen many of my kinks yet, but oh my goodness, I have quite a buffet of kinks that I'm going to slowly place out there. My favourites. I have so many and I hold them all so dear to my heart. I think just traditional BDSM. I like being tied up. I liked moderate to fairly intense impact play. I like wax. I'll be a bit more descriptive with it. Basically, if there is an implement that you would find in the basement of Dracula's castle, chances are I will like it very much. Yes, I like the whole power dynamic thing. I like to be in a more submissive role, subservient role to somebody else who I admire, respect, I find attractive, sue me. Yes, and I like all of that old-fashioned-y Marquis de Sade stuff. And I discovered this many, many, many moons ago when I was probably in my early teens. And they always say it's when you are around that time period in your life that you start to develop your sexuality and your little quirks, the things that you like and dislike, based on experience, when you were quite impressionable and malleable. So at the same time that I guess I was open to suggestion for sexual preferences, my school curriculum was also Gothic horror and Gothic romance in English literature class. And so I am very, very drawn to, you know, all that good stuff, dungeons and everything being very romantic and gothy. It is my life's ambition to live in a castle. What do you wear to bed? Question 3. I take sleep very seriously. I will go without food. I will go without social interaction. I will go without many things, but I will not be deprived of my sleep. I take it very seriously. And as such, I like to wear nice things to bed. I have a very, very fine collection of silky or satiny pyjamas and nighties, and they're just fun to wear in bed because you get between the sheets and you can slink about and wiggle and get all comfy, and it's just nice and it feels all lovely and luxurious and soft on your skin. And I have a few, you know, pieces if I'm trying to desperately show off and impress somebody. Like, oh, this is just what I wear to bed all the time, you know. This absurd tulip skirted black satin nightie with lace and bits of ribbon on it and things. Question 4. Where are you answering this questionnaire? Bedroom, kitchen, office, car, etc. I am in my office, so I do apologise if you can hear my computer humming and whirring away in the background. Yes, I am in my office at the moment. 5. What is your favourite kind of soup? I would say something autumnal, something... I don't like broths or something a bit thin and watery. I like the hearty autumnal soups. But that things that have a bit of backbone. So things like pumpkin, beetroot, nettle soup. I had nettle soup foraged nettle soup a few years ago, and it was absolutely delicious. It felt like I was drinking an emerald. It was beautiful. 6. How do you pronounce the word caramel? How about data? Root. Pecan. Aunt. Envelope. Pajamas. Crayon. Like that. 7. Would you have sex with an identical twin version of yourself? Pauses to reflect on this and have a sip. How would you do that with being without broadcasting to the world that you are a terrible narcissist? If it was an identical twin, as in we were actually sisters, then absolutely not, because yuck and illegal. But if it was more like a clone situation, oh, definitely, in a heartbeat. Because we'd know what we like. Wouldn't have to worry about anything, and we could try in a safe space all the things we've always wanted to that are a bit sketchy maybe, or we don't really know what we're doing. So you'd be free of any awkwardness or worry that you were getting it wrong. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. 8. Say your partner or potential significant other is well versed in a certain subject and you find that knowledge to be extremely sexy. What would this subject be? I have always been very drawn to the people that are proficient or amazing at things that I really struggle with or that I just cannot get the hang of. So, try as I might, I am appalling with music. I desperately try. I am average at singing. I have singing lessons. Admittedly, I've not been going for very long, so hopefully I will improve. I also want to learn to play the piano. But it's not a natural talent for me. And the prospect at the moment of reading music is incredibly daunting. So I don't know, maybe somebody who composes their own music, maybe somebody who can play a whole host of instruments. That would be very sexy. I don't know, I find anyone's passion and anyone's intelligence sexy, even if it's something that I find rather dull or boring, because I always think, well, I loathe technology, but thank God there's somebody out there who gets excited about coding and building computers, because it benefits me greatly. But sexy is the optimum word here. What subject would I find sexy? Maybe food, maybe wine. It's the key to my heart is food and drink. I think I've mentioned this in an audio. I cook. I love to cook. I find it very relaxing. I find it very grounding. And yes, potentially somebody who's got a lot of knowledge about perhaps more refined dining, sort of more gastronomy. That's quite sexy. And then you get the added benefit of actually going to dinners with them and having them cook for you and showing off their knowledge, yes. Oh my gosh, that sounds so selfish and so scheming, doesn't it? I want somebody who's knowledgeable in something that benefits me. Do apologise, I promise. I'm not as selfish as I'm coming across. 9. Dating-wise, how old is too old for you? How young is too young? Now, I saw a thing a few years ago that was dating according to what was, I think, called the French rule, where you took your age, divided it by 2, and added 7, and that number was the youngest you could date. And the other way, on the other end of the spectrum, you took your age, doubled it, subtracted 7, and that was the eldest you could date. Now, for me, that puts us somewhere between sort of 20 and 45. And that upper limit is fine with me, but I'm in my mid-20s. I don't think I would want to date somebody who is 20, somebody who is still at university, because, I mean, maybe that's my own prejudice, but when I look back to me at university and the hopeless little scrap that I was, God, it would be exhausting dating somebody that young. I think I've always been attracted to older men in general. So I guess I would actually go up to maybe, yes, 40, maybe 50s pushing a little, but certainly mid-40s, I wouldn't see a problem with that. 10. Has anyone ever told you you sound like someone else, a celebrity, cartoon character, or anyone else? No, I have a very boring, bland, non-distinctive voice, so I just sound like everybody, really. Very dull. 11. How old do you think your listeners think you are? Well, I've just given away I'm in my mid-20s, so I'm... Ta-da! That's how old I am. Probably, yeah, mid-20s. I don't think I sound particularly old. I don't put on a very thin, high, girly voice. Yeah, mid-20s, probably. 12. Are you a picky eater? What will you absolutely not eat? Is there a food you like that most other people don't? As I have said, food may be my one true love. It could be the one. I'm still trying to figure it out. I am not a picky eater. I am a vegetarian. Now, that is not a lifetime thing. It's a relatively new development. I'm a vegetarian, so immediately that cuts off a swathe of categories of things that I won't eat now. But back in the day when I did eat meat, oh my God, if it wasn't nailed down, I would eat it. I've had eel and ostrich, reindeer, kangaroo, crocodile, all sorts of odds and sods. I don't care at all. I will try anything once. But even when I was eating meat, I absolutely would not eat veal. I would not eat foie gras because I just think it's cruel. Now that I'm a vegetarian, I absolutely will not eat radishes. They're disgusting. Why? The glorious bounty of food and sustenance that is out there in the universe, and you pick florist foam that's been frozen and doused in nail polish remover. Why do you hate yourself? Who hurt you that you feel you only deserve to eat radishes? That you feel that that is something you have to inflict upon yourself? As I said, I like everything pretty much, so a lot of people show a lot of hatred towards coriander, and I can't understand it. It's lovely, it's delicious in Mexican food. It's the bee's knees, I really like it. No, please don't hate me, please don't fall out with me, don't go away. I do like pineapple pizza, a good old Hawaiian, it's retro, it brings back happy memories of birthday parties and sleepovers as a child, so I like it. Meat and sweet, it's a wonderful combination. But yes, no, I'm not a picky eater at all. 13. Is there a certain country, culture, or time period you're fixated on and would like to learn more about? Yes, country-wise and culture-wise, I have a real passion for Japan. I've been learning Japanese for about 4 years now and became enamoured with the language, the culture, the food while I was at university. And I think it's marvellous, that brilliant juxtaposition between ancient customs and the beauty, the grace, the elegance, the quite reserved nature of the place, and then the modern, technologically advanced, neon rippling, crazy hub of ideas and culture and the music and the nightlife and how it all smashes together and yet it works. I think that's fantastic that these completely starkly, diametrically opposed cultures are from the same place and that they meld together so beautifully. I think that's great. I'm aiming to get to Japan in the next couple of years and I'm going to hopefully go for about a month and practice my language because at the moment I'm pretty proficient. I know enough to get into a great deal of trouble. As for time period, not especially. I have never felt a great urge to time travel. I love Doctor Who. That's about as far as that goes. 14. Can you comfortably go the rest of your life without falling in love? Absolutely not. I love to be in love. Being in love, it's the best thing in the world. I've settled down a lot in my adult life. It used to be when I was a teenager, I was falling in love about four times a day. It's exhausting. No. I mean, going without love would mean, you know, platonic love, all kinds of love, but falling in love suggests romantic love and sexual love, and oh, that's just wonderful. That's why we're all here, isn't it? To fall in love and be ridiculous. 15. Do you prefer blue skies or grey skies? Petal. Who in their right mind prefers grey skies? Probably. I'm going to get a comment now. Well, actually, I prefer grey skies. Well, good for you. Blue skies, definitely. Gotta get that vitamin D. It's good for you. You don't want rickets. Blue skies. 16. What were your favourite shows as a child? I was very discouraged from watching TV when I was younger. My parents and grandparents would only put it on as a last resort because they were very busy and we'd run out of books. I don't really know. I guess it doesn't really count as a child because I was about, I think I was a teenager, but I really liked Horrible Histories. I used to watch some bizarre program that was a bunch of cockroach puppets. I don't really remember. Oh, Batman the Animated Series, that was great. I used to really, you know, savour watching that after school. Yeah, let's go with that. Oh, and Chowder. If you've never watched Chowder, it used to be on Cartoon Network. That is a great show. You should watch that. That's just fun. I still watch that as an adult. That and Fairly Odd Parents. Actually, now I'm thinking about it, I actually did watch quite a lot of TV. I think I must have snuck off and watched it with behind the adults' backs. 17. What is your favourite protein? Meat, or if you're vegan, etc., it'd be beans, soy, da-di-da. Again, when I used to eat meat, that was easy. I used to like game. I used to like my venison, my pigeon, pheasant, all the bloody stuff, all the really strong tasting stuff that was, you know, bright red and still had bits of bullet in it. That was my favourite. But now because I am a sad hippie, I'm pretty much stuck with corn. Corn is okay. There is a mock duck substitute that's pretty tasty, to be honest. Doesn't really differ much from the real thing. Yeah. Just something, corn. I don't know. It's not really the protein that one when you're a vegetarian. It's more the sauce that you put it with. 18. Are you interested in true crime? I'm not really. My career, my profession just has so much misery, sadness and illegality within it that when I get home, I like to watch things that are a bit more irreverent, a bit more comedic. I don't want to turn on the TV and think, oh God, I've just been looking at this at work. So, no, not really. 19. What are your hard limits sexually? I would probably split my hard limits up into two different categories. The ones where I don't want to do them because I don't agree with them morally, and probably the ones that I don't want to do because they hurt. They hurt very much. Please don't do that to me. So, on the moral side, nothing age, nothing rape, nothing beast, none of the snuff stuff, necrophilia. Just stop. It's gross. What is she doing? She's alienating parts of her audience. I don't think she cares. I don't. So, no, I don't like any of that at all. And to be honest, it would probably be a deal breaker in a relationship if a partner who I was coming to really love and enjoy said, oh, I want to do this thing where I simulate doing unspeakable illegal things to you. I would go, right, okay. You know, simultaneously grabbing my coat behind me and phoning my dad behind my back, like, please come and pick me up. I'm terrified. So none of that stuff from an ethical perspective. With regards to things that I just don't want to do because I don't think they would feel particularly good, I like impact play, I like wax, I can take quite a lot, really, from past experiences. I can take an awful lot of being hit with a crop or some of the nastier implements, but I can't be doing with anything that involves burning. It makes me feel so inside, the people that like being burnt with cigarettes or anything like that. I got a bit of a weird thing to disclose at this junction, but I got set on fire a few years ago. Completely by accident. The person was absolutely mortified. They didn't mean to do it, but I got set on fire. And very, very fortunately, there was no lasting damage. I healed perfectly. I think everybody was dumbfounded by it, but very fortunately, there is absolutely my skin. It's completely good as new. You can't tell at all. But as a result, it's not something I want to emulate again. Don't get set on fire. It does not feel good. 20. Do you like reality television? No. I wish I had a better, more convoluted answer. Just no. I don't. I like comedies, I like period dramas, I like panel shows, cooking shows, documentaries. I don't like reality TV. 21. What do you think of pegging? I actually would be quite keen to try it. I think it would be an interesting dynamic. I am very, very submissive, but occasionally I just do get this urge, this craving to be a bit more dominant. And I think I would be very nice about it. I don't think I'd be one of these horrible lycra-wearing screaming women that you see on Pornhub. I think I'd be a lot more gentle and a lot more sweet about it all. But I'd like to try it. It'd be interesting. However, it all depends on your partner. I think they have a pretty big say in it. And if they weren't interested, I wouldn't push the issue. It wouldn't bother me. I'd be happy either way. 22. How would you describe how adults ask each other out on dates or for relationships? versus how kids do it. Well, nowadays, adults just do it all on their phone, with dating apps and such, whereas kids still do the very traditional method of just bumping into each other in the playground and saying, I like you. Do you want to go and look at frogs and be my girlfriend? And personally, I think we need to get back to that. We could learn a lot from children. I don't really like what technology has done to dating. It's good because it actually gets people talking, but I don't like how it reduces people down to commodities. It's like internet shopping. I don't really like it. I think it dehumanises everybody, and I just don't think psychologically it's probably very good for us. Righty-ho. 23. Do you like raw onions in your food? I do. Greek salad. Delicious. 24. Can you curl your pinky without moving your ring finger? I can't. I'd love to have one of those weird party tricks where you can sort of, like, bend your legs all the way around or do something like that. But I can't, sadly. Don't really have any party tricks. 25. When sleeping next to a partner, do you prefer full on cuddling, touching a little bit, or not touching at all? Ah, I wish I was a full on cuddly sleeper. I wish I was. It looks so sweet and intimate and lovely. And I do love to cuddle. Cuddling is wonderful. It's great. But not to sleep. Not to sleep, because it's when you wake up and you've got a dead arm and your hair is stuck under their shoulder and, you know, you're boiling. And then you don't want to move because you don't want to wake them up. Touching a little bit, I think that's very sweet, that people will still just have their fingertips touching or their shoulders and or a leg over the other. That's nice. That's nice. And also as well, if you can imagine, the heat at the moment here in England is swelteringly, meltingly hot. You wouldn't want to be wrapped up in each other like a pair of eels. Blech. 26. Do you shop at Costco or any membership-based shopping centre? I do not. 27. What is a sexy scenario you fantasise about but literally cannot happen for you in real life? I.e. medieval stuff, furry stuff, being a high school student again, fucking a 50-foot tall woman, etc. How did you know? Maybe that one, the high school student again. Obviously, you know, everyone's of age in this fantasy. But, yeah, I do like teacher-student stuff. I do like the authoritarian thing. I had several fantastic male teachers in my youth who, you know, weren't like sexy pin-up gods, but because they were obviously far more mature than me, and they were knowledgeable about something, and they were imparting wisdom to me, and they, you know, cared about me getting good grades and achieving my potential, it was hot, it was sexy. Yes, I do have a lot of fantasies where it's something like that. It's like a history teacher or a piano teacher, something like that. But alas, alas, I don't have a school uniform anymore, so it will just have to exist only in my mind. 28. What's a fashion trend of your youth do you find absolutely atrocious now? Oh my god, where do we start? I think I need to do a sacrificial burning of every photo of me under the age of 16. Oh, it was dreadful. How my parents actually let me out of the house, I don't know. Oh, I went through that god-awful emo stage back in the mid-2000s, so I had pink and black hair. I looked like... I looked like a My Little Pony. I had black and pink hair. I had piercings. I used to have all the ripped jeans and god-awful eye makeup. Oh, God, I was I was going to get a tattoo at one point. I was going to get corset piercings at one point. Oh, I looked such a mess. I used to wear really bright colours, conflicting patterns, everything had safety pins in. Oh, God. Honestly, when you look back and think, I used to look in the mirror and think, yes, I am fashion. yes, absolutely dreadful. Don't have an emo phase. Vampirefreaks.com, am I right? MySpace. 29. What is your favourite accent? Also, please best describe the quality of a voice that would really draw you in. Very, I think, boringly on my part, I'm English, and I like English accents on men, particularly the very, very RP, very polished and, you know, traditional boarding school elocution lessons kind of British accent. It's, again, probably because it hits some space in me where it makes me think of teachers, professors storming about some old school with stone walls and a big wooden ruler or a cane and smacking it on the desk. Because I don't know my Latin verbs and that's going to cost me. It's just not good enough. Oh, I've barely even drank any of this. That's not acceptable. Oh, excuse me. So yes, very traditional, I guess formal English accents. However, I did recently speak to a Texan gentleman and oh my God, his voice. It was like pancakes and golden syrup and sunshine being poured into my ears. It was beautiful. And I won't even dare to dream of doing the accent, but I said something and he said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I just collapsed into a puddle then and there. Melted me. I had to be very embarrassing. I had to be scooped up on a snow shovel and poured into the back of a truck. Reassembled. Quality of voice. Fairly deep voice, I guess. Smooth voice. Oh, voices. Again, I didn't realise I was so picky. Apparently I am. Because that's a deal breaker as well. It's the real David Beckham complex that you can look at a man from afar and think, oh, he is breathtaking. He's beautiful. Oh my goodness, he is an argument for intelligent design. That can't happen by accident. And then he opens his mouth and he's either got a really squeaky, awful voice or it's a terrible accent and just, oof, oh, it kills the lust. It kills the longing, stone dead. For me, anyway. 30. Do you keep things formal between you and your listeners, simply thanking them for listening to your audios, or do you flirt back sometimes? I flirt back. I'm a terrible flirt. I always have been. I love flirting because it's harmless. It's just fun and frothy and innocent. It's nice. It's like the dessert of conversation, flirting. I love it. So yeah, I have a cheeky little flirt. Big tease. 31. Do you mind receiving pet names from strangers? Not at all. Not at all. I'm a feminist, but I'm not a militant feminist. I do not have any qualms or truck whatsoever with anybody, regardless of whether it's male, female, however they present themselves, calling me a pet name. It's incredibly common in England, and depending where you go, there are regional pet names as well. I spent a lot of time in the Northeast a few years ago, and everybody there calls each other pet. Pet. And it's completely normal and fine and lovely. to be called pet by a man at the bus stop, and it's not alarming, or you don't think they're coming on to you. It's just a term of endearment, and it's friendly. I also used to work in a pub a long time ago. A proper, traditional English pub. Really old, it still had all the horse brasses and flag floors, mullioned windows, all that good stuff, and it served sort of bitter and stout and ale. So it tended to be sort of men in their 50s up that used to drink in there just to have a quiet pint and do the crossword, etc., etc. And so I was very, very accustomed to being called love, pet, darling, sweetheart, all that kind of thing. I do, from working in a pub, I do like being called flower. I do like being called petal and blossom. Like, thank you, Gerald. Thank you. I am a blossom. I am a petal. Thank you. I am pale pink, you know, nice smelling and light on my feet. Yeah, that's, no, it doesn't bother me at all. And I do it too. I call people love and honey and darling, things like that. Probably when I do eventually get admonished by somebody, like, don't call me sweetheart, you don't know me. I will die of shame. I'll be utterly mortified and embarrassed and apologise profusely, but it doesn't bother me at all. 32. What are some facial features a person can have that you would find exceptionally striking? It's all in the eyes, isn't it? People's eyes are so beautiful. Cheekbones as well, those really slicing cheekbones, they look amazing on people when they have those proper Slavic cheekbones that look like they could cut diamonds. They're so sharp and high, they're great. But other than that, that's all I can really think of, cheekbones and eyes. And that's on men and women. Yeah, that's all I can think of. 33. Can you count how many sexual partners you've had on all your fingers? How about on all your fingers and all your toes? I can count all of my sexual partners on one hand. And again, did not realise I was so picky. I am. I'm incredibly picky. I've had sex with only a few people. I prefer to go in for quality over quantity every day of the week. And I'm fine with that. I don't like casual sex. I never have. It's never appealed. I have never had a one-night stand, for example. I just, it just sounds appalling. If I was ever at a stage where I was so desperate for sex that I was going to have sex with a stranger that I didn't know and had no intention of seeing again after, I would probably just hire a prostitute. I would get a male escort. I would find a very expensive, reputable agency, and I would pick a nice gentleman from it to my exacting standards, like I was picking him out of a menu. I just think, if you're going to have sex with somebody and you don't really know much about them, I mean, you may as well go for like a male escort. At least you know that they'd be good. Can you imagine? You went through all of the rigmarole of getting ready, going out, finding someone at a bar, drinking with them, having, you know, the prerequisite conversation, you get back to their place, and they're terrible? What a waste! What a waste of cab fare! What a waste of lipstick! What a waste of, you know, getting yourself into all that lingerie that has so many buttons and clips and laces. So, yes, I can count all of my sexual partners on one hand. 34. Have you spoken to your favourite poster on GWA already? Oh, that's such a mean question, because the people I have spoken to, they'll know that they're not my favourite if I say no. But But no, I haven't. I do have a favourite. I have about 14 of you saved that I listen to quite a lot, and I'm subscribed to you, as it were, and I always watch out for you releasing new stuff, but I do have a favourite. I do, and I'm not telling you who it is. I haven't spoken to them yet. Curiouser. Well, that is it. That is the end of Petal's fine questionnaire. Thank you so much, Petal, for putting this together for people. It's very kind of you to take time out of your life to do this. I hope that somebody, anybody, is so inclined to listen and gets a little entertainment or, you know, enjoys just having me around in the background to listen to. Have a wonderful evening. I am going to drink the rest of my champagne. I think I'm going to listen to music and... I don't know. It is a sleepover. I guess I am obliged to have a pillow fight with myself. I'll probably win. I'm very competitive. Good night. Take care. I hope to talk to you again soon.